Church, it is crowded on stage this morning, but I want you to know that, traditionally these kind of represent resurrection, and that these are also a gift for you. When you leave today, take at least one and, maybe a couple, because we have about 200 of them here on stage, and so they're for you. I'm glad you're here. I was thinking about what I want to talk about this morning, and then I wrote it, and then I thought to myself, maybe I should tell you this disclaimer. The disclaimer is simple. I didn't have anybody specifically in mind when I wrote this sermon. But then when I went over it and over it, I realized that just about all of us, there's something in there for us. And I thought, I don't want anybody here today at all to think that I wrote this for you. But if it blesses you, God be praised, all right? Anyone hate storms? Maybe some of you don't like storms at all. Maybe some of you maybe have a pet that doesn't like storms or a child that doesn't like storms. So when the thunder starts to happen outside of your house, your child jumps in your bed or your dog disappears. Anybody have one of those, right? We used to have a dog that when it got really bad, we didn't know where he was. He was usually behind the couch, hunkered down, barely could fit in there, but he got there. And I know that sometimes storms can be frightening. I remember one time my wife and I were going to walk on the Appalachian Trail for a few days. We were going to take a vacation and go on the Appalachian Trail for a 70-mile particular piece of the trail. I only tried that once, and I would tell you that those were the longest 22 miles of my life. But I remember we were practicing, so they said, don't go and just try to do it. You need to go and practice it. So we found this portion of the trail that had a parking lot at the foot of the hill and had a bunch of switchbacks, and it was a few miles up to the place where you could stay. And so that was a great place to go and practice, right? So you could go up there and just a few hours make it to the top and then a few hours make it down. So you're practicing climbing and descending. So one night we decided we're going to practice with a tent. And so we got all of our gear together and we climbed this mountain. And we got up there and we found the hostel, which is like just a little shack in the middle of the forest with an open end on one side. And it was already occupied. And so we knew that there were places to put up a tent. And so we said, where are the tent sites? And they said, they're that way. So we started down this little trail, and about three steps in, someone in that party of people who had already taken the hostel had said to us, say hello to the bear for us. Now, I could have lived the rest of my life without that statement, right? So we got down there and we found the spring and we got our water and we cooked over an open flame and we put our tent up and I believe we did it without arguing, which is an important thing in camping, right? They say if you have trouble with your marriage, you want to grow closer together, go camping. Anyway, because there's always trials in camping, right? But I remember we get into the tent and we're going to go to sleep, and every sound outside of my tent was a bear. I mean, there wasn't a bear, but every sound in my mind, right, it sounded like the crunch of the ground. It could have been a squirrel, right, a rat or something. But in my mind's eye, there was a bear outside. And I prayed for rain. Because when you're camping, you don't want rain, right? You want it to be dry. But that night, every sound kept me awake, and I was restless, and I couldn't sleep. And I'm just sitting there thinking about being mauled by a bear and what the newspaper's going to say and, whatever. And so, this was one of those moments. And then all of a sudden, a little drip, a little drizzle, a little rain, and the sound of rain, I fell asleep. I love the sound of rain. I love the sound of thunder. I even have on my iPhone a sound effect or a track that I can play when I can't sleep. And I put on my headphones and I play the sound of thunder and lightning, and phew, I'm out. I remember traveling one time in my car and had to sleep at a rest area. And you're always hearing noises there. So I just plugged in the phone, turned up the sound of the thunderstorm, and I got my sleep in. We don't all hear storms like that. you know, we don't all appreciate storms, or we don't all like storms, and sometimes it's impossible to sleep during a storm, especially when they name it, right? When the Weather Channel gives it a name, or when NOVA gives it a name, and it's on its way, and we know what category it sits in, right? Then it's very difficult to sleep. Or when your radio goes off and says, you know, take cover, this is what's happening in your, you know, that those times you don't rest, right? You go and you find candles and flashlights and blankets, a radio, or make sure your cell phone is charged up. Maybe you get some spam. I don't know. Maybe not. Okay. You think, man, I got to do something. I got to prepare for this. And you huddle together in your house. And you listen for the instructions. And you await the storm. There's no rest in those times. Some storms have nothing to do with the atmosphere, but have more to do with your zip code, where you live, or what you're going through. And those storms are we call them those life storms because we never know when the next band is coming through, right? When we don't know when the next, we don't have a radar in life storms, so we don't know how our world is going to change, or our heart is going to react, or our family is going to feel. We don't know. And those kind of storms are difficult. You don't know. I mean, there's no special emergency kit for life sometimes. We don't know what radio to listen to. And we go through these storms and we don't know how to react. We don't know what to do. And then when the storm is settled, I don't know about you, but sometimes it's easier not to look and see what the damage is. You ever feel that way? Even in a regular storm, that night the wind was blowing and you could hear it all night long, right? And the hail and all that stuff, and you don't even want to look in your yard because you're not prepared for all the work you may have to do, right? You don't want to see the damage. In our life storms, we can't even remember the days when there was sunshine. In our life storms, we only know the pain, we only know the hurt, we only know the sorrow, we only know the embarrassment, we only know the shortfall, we only know the issue at hand. It's in this time that everyone says to you, you know what, if you just trust in God, just listen to God, or everything happens for a reason. Liars. There is no reason for some things in our life. Amen? And people well-meaning with their heart open for you say, God has a plan. And it hurts, right? Because in the middle of storm, all we can hear is the rain falling on the metal roof of our hearts. And we can't imagine what it's like on the other side. We can't imagine what it is to escape it because we're dealing with the storm's effects. Oh, we've seen rainbows before, and we know what it's like to dance in the sunshine on the beach, to twirl on the beach. Little girls would, you know, when Turner was a little girl, anytime she got a dress, it was like twirl time. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? And we know what it's like to dance like that, but we can't imagine what it's like to dance in the rain. During the time of Easter, I'm reminded of the gospel, right? Of what Jesus did for us, the good news. You know, his followers had to experience all the days of his death, burial, and resurrection. We get the whole story, right? And so we know about the victory, but imagine being those guys not knowing the victory. The Bible is silent about Saturday. Lots of information about what took place on Friday, right? Lots of information about what took place on Sunday, but it doesn't say anything about what happened on Saturday. Can you imagine living through the Sabbath, the holy day of rest? It's supposed to be that day of rest, but a mother was crying. An apostle had killed himself. Peter, the oldest apostle, had lied 3 times in public, and denying he even knew Jesus. the town in the middle of the Sabbath day during a time when they had just celebrated Passover with their families, and their families are in town. Y'all know what it's like, right? When family comes. Some who had welcomed Jesus in just the week before saying, Hosanna, maybe some of those were some of the same people who shouted, Crucify him. We don't know. But being at a place of rest, who could really rest? Who could eat? Wondering what happened. This is not just any death. This was the death of the king. And they had no idea how to go on with life. Man, imagine the priests were in celebration thinking about how they rid the earth of another blasphemer, right? Pilate is in his house thinking about how he had condemned an innocent man, and maybe his wife is still reminding him, I told you I had a dream and you shouldn't have done that. Maybe there was that soldier sitting at home, staring at his hands, thinking to himself, truly that was the Son of God, and surely I'm going to be punished for what I've done. Maybe the followers of Jesus were staring out the window, wondering what this means for them, and do we continue to teach what we've taught, or does this even mean, is he even the Son of God? The priests and the Levites, maybe they were standing inside the temple staring at the door of the Holy of Holies and seeing this curtain that is ripped from top to bottom going, how did this happen? What do we do? Do we fix it? What do we tell the people? What is going on? The whole town experiencing the darkness and the earthquake and the fact that tombs were emptied. At the same time on Saturday, there was a tomb that was full, guarded, and sealed. So what was it like to be living in the darkness of Saturday? You know, on Friday we call it Good Friday. What could possibly be good about Friday without Sunday? Nothing. You know, the only thing that makes Friday good is the resurrection Sunday, amen? And the darkness on Saturday, you know, the doubtful Saturday is only redeemed by a beautiful Sunday. You may be living on Friday right now. You may be living on Friday thinking about how life has come apart. You may be living on Saturday not knowing how to recover when everything's already finished. You may have relationships that are broken. You may have sin that you can't seem to shake. You may have trouble in your job, trouble at your business. You may have trouble with your children. You may have trouble in the church. You may have trouble with your parents. You may have trouble with financial issues. Maybe you have trouble with the living arrangements that are just not ideal for your life. Maybe you have health issues that are just overwhelming. Or a diagnosis that you're not even willing to tell anyone. You may have chronic pain. You may have lost a friend to death. Or you may have lost a friend to a misunderstanding. You may not be sure if your company's going to keep you. Maybe you don't know how to handle your family. Maybe you don't know how to overcome your parents' death. Maybe you have sibling trouble. Maybe you struggle with depression. Maybe anxiety's got a hold on you and it's out of control. Maybe you don't know where your next meal is coming from. Maybe you don't know how to talk to your spouse. Maybe you don't know how to confront a friend who's sinned against you. Maybe you just don't know how you're going to make it through whatever it is that you're going through. Jesus wants to say something to you today. And what he wants to say to you is, I know. Jesus, you can't possibly understand. You see, I have this friend who I know. Jesus, do you really know what it's like when everyone's against you? Yes, I know. All right, let me talk to God, okay? God, do you know what it's like to lose a child? Yes, I know. But Jesus, you don't understand how tempted I am. Yes, I do. I know. I know. I came to earth so that I can tell you, I know. In the storm, it's hard to hear the voice of the Savior because we have to start listening or stop listening to the sound of the storm. That's hard, right? It's hard. We need to start listening to the one who made a promise he will always keep. The great promise maker. He's the one who won't go back on his promises. He never fails and he never turns on us. And he will never leave you or forsake you, even if you think he has. It's like the story of the little old man and little old lady in their really old pickup truck. And they're driving. Here's the old man. He's on this side, just driving. On the other side, way over on that seat, right against the door, is the folded arms little old lady. Not happy. And this old man's just driving, and he's not paying attention. He's got his mind set on the road, and he stops at a stoplight. In front of them is a brand new truck, and it's one of them Texas trucks, right? That you need like a forklift, a stepladder, and a crane to get into. And the little old lady looks up and she sees the back window is clear and sees the man and the girlfriend, the boy and the girl. She's right next to him in the pickup truck. And she just tightens her arms up a little bit more. Looks over at the old man and says, "We used to be like that." The old man, silent for a moment, thinks, and responds without looking at her and says, "I never moved." You know, sometimes we're standing over here saying, "God, where are you?" Right? It's funny. It's okay to laugh. All right? So we're standing over here saying, "God, where are you? I'm right over here." And he's like, "I never moved. As a matter of fact, I'm unmovable. I'm not going to move. I'm here." There was a sermon, and many of you may have seen the video or read the text somewhere, or somewhere in your life you've heard someone mention this, and I just want to read you this. I didn't come up with this. I didn't write this, but it really moves me. It's called, or there's just one line in the whole thing, "It's Friday, but Sunday's coming." Here's the sermon. It's Friday. Jesus is praying and Peter is sleeping. Judas is betraying, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Pilate's struggling. The council is conspiring. The crowd is vilifying. They don't even know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary is crying. Peter is denying, but they don't know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The Romans beat my Jesus. They robe him in scarlet. They crown him with thorns, but they don't know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. See Jesus walking to Calvary, his blood dripping, his body stumbling, and his spirit's burdened, but you see, it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The world's winning. People are sinning and evil is grinning. It's Friday. The soldiers nail my Savior's hands to the cross. They nail my Savior's feet to the cross. And then they raise him up next to criminals. It's Friday. But let me tell you something. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are questioning what has happened to their king. And the Pharisees are celebrating that their scheming has been achieved. But they don't know. It's only Friday and Sunday's coming. It's Friday. He's hanging on the cross, feeling forsaken by his Father, left alone and dying. Can nobody save him? It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The earth trembles. The sky grows dark. My king yields his spirit. It's Friday. Hope is lost. Death is won. Sin is conquered. And Satan's just a laughing. It's Friday. Jesus is buried. A soldier stands guard and a rock is rolled into place. But it's Friday. It's only Friday. Sunday's coming. That I wish I wrote. When I was growing up, they would say, that'll preach. Right? Y'all say it around here, that dog will hunt, right? Is that how that works? That statement is what we can live on. Amen? I want you to think about this. Resurrection Sunday is the power of salvation for you. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, the death, the burial, and resurrection. That's God's power to save you. The empty tomb is more powerful than the cross. The grave clothes are left behind because he didn't need them anymore. He only needed the transformation that comes when restoration has taken effect. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 1, it says, now brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are, say that word.
Saved.
Amen. If you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. And after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time. Most of them were still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James and then all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also as one abnormally born. Paul refers to himself. Later on, verse 12, it says, but if it is preached that Christ had not been raised from the dead, listen to this. How can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. Verse 16, for the dead... For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. It is the resurrection. He says, for the perishable must clothe itself in the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with the immortality, then he is saying that it is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up into victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God that he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm on Friday. Stand firm when it's Saturday. Let nothing move you on Friday. Let nothing move you on Saturday. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your labor is not in vain. Amen. It's Friday. In your life, it may be Friday, and the storm is raging, but Sunday's coming. In your life, it may be Saturday. The deeds have been done. Nothing can be undone. You don't know how to rest, but the good news is that Sunday is coming. Sunday's coming for you, and it's coming for me. The resurrection of the dead will include all of us one day. I don't understand all of that, but I can't wait to, right? I mean, I believe it, I trust in it, I can't explain it. I can say, here are the texts, look at the text, read the Bible, but I can just tell you, I can't wait to see what it means. Instead of being restless, start resting on the Savior who said, in this world, you'll have trouble. Nobody buys that t-shirt, right? We like to buy the t-shirt, I know the plans that I've made for you, right? We like that one. But no one gets a coffee cup that says, in this world, you'll have trouble. Jesus, right? You may want to buy that for somebody at work. But let me just tell you, he said this to give you encouragement, because the next words he says are what's powerful. In this world, you'll have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. And he's saying to you, you can too. Paul said that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, and if you listen to KSBJ, you know where the song is going, right? The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. John in 1 John said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. How do I make it through the trials and the storm of Friday? Know that Jesus loves you and Sunday's coming. How do I make it through Saturday when there's nothing I can do and I don't even know how to rest or eat or even talk to anyone? It's Saturday, it's Friday, doesn't matter. Jesus is coming soon. Today you may be living in your Friday and desperately begging God to let this storm pass. But he wants you to know something special. I believe that God wants you to understand this, that he saved Daniel in the lion's den, not from it. He saved Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, not from it. He saved David standing in face to face with the giant, not from the giant. So he can do this. He can close the mouth of the lions in your life. He can refine you in fire. And he can destroy your giants and set you free. He told the prophet Amos, he said, listen, Amos, tell the people this. Tell them that even if a little piece of an ear is left over, you know, we're about to have the fair. And if I showed up at the fair with just a little piece of an ear and one little shank bone, right, I'm not winning any prizes. They won't even let me weigh in, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about. But God said, I'm willing to go to the mouth of the lion and reach into his mouth and take back those things, because he said, I can make you whole again. I heard one preacher say, if you have an ear to hear, if you have a leg to stand on, I can fix it. How many times did Jesus say, he who has ears, let him hear? If there's barely anything left, it's enough. If your faith is smaller than a mustard seed, if your faith is a grain of sand that you can't even see, but you can just barely feel it, God can make it whole again. God can make you whole again. God can transform your life. He made those promises to Israel, and he makes those to you. Not all things are good, but God can make good come out of anything. Oh, you can't see it when you're there, right? Storm is going and the floods are raging. You have no idea how you're going to survive. And on the other end, somehow. You know, whatever you have left, he can make it supply your life abundantly. I know this. Why? Because he took a snack and fed thousands. He took two really bad fishing days and made them trophy days, right? Cast your nets on the other side. He can take your life, whatever's left, and make you whole again. Whatever you're going through, know that it's only Friday and Sunday's coming. Here in just a moment, we're going to sing a song. When we sing this song, our elders are going to be the different areas in our auditorium to pray with you. I don't know what your needs are, but I can tell you a couple of things. God can handle it, even when you can't. That old saying that, you know, God's not going to give you anything that you can't handle. Lie number 75, right? He says he won't give you temptation that you can't handle, right? But there are things in this world that just draw us to him, drive us to him so that we can say, Lord, I need you. Every hour, I need you. If you can't handle it, I know a God who can. And even if your storm doesn't go away, he still loves you and is right beside you. If you're not a Christian, and I tell you what, Resurrection Sunday, which we celebrate, I know, every Sunday, but today is a very special day because the rest of the world's looking in, and we're happy about that. And so we join them to talk about it. But it represents the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus, but that's what he asked all of us to do. Die to your old man, be buried in baptism, a faith-filled baptism, rise to walk a new life just like him. We go through a death, burial, and resurrection. If you haven't done that, you need to do that today. If you're struggling in any way, our elders will be here. Tell them what your needs are. They'll pray with you. They'll help you. Let's do that as we stand and we sing this song.